assignment is in 126 to 28. I'm giving you full dominion and giving you the right to bring the kingdom to earth. Amen. Go do it.
Right.
Mm. Amen. Come on, it was just a delay because of the sin. He said, oh no, I'll bring it.
Right.
He said, okay, I tried you, I'll bring it myself.
Yeah.
I'll reestablish you and I'll make sure that the kingdom, you live in it.
Amen.
And that you can now bring the kingdom, because the kingdom of, come on, no, the kingdom of, is it God or heaven? What's inside of you?
God.
Kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
The rules, regulations, laws, governmental rights, everything that an ambassador needs to complete his assignment is in you.
Amen.
He did not send you to the earth to get any, the world, to get any of the world resources. He sent you here to take the world resources.
Amen. Amen.
I'll say it slow because some of you with the religious mindset, you don't intimidate me. I love you, but you got to get out of it. God did not send you into the world to be dependent upon any of their resources. He sent you here to demonstrate his resources and to make those resources submit to the power that's in you.
Yes.
That's why Christ never had a job, though he was a carpenter.
Yes.
Paul was what's called the tent maker. A tent is not what you thought because of Western culture. The Western culture shows you the tent, you know, big tent, you go camping or whatever, a tent. Things similar to that with teepees and things like that, you know, from what you learned in school. That's a tent. No, that's not what he made. A tent is a very expensive piece of cloth that they would put on before they pray. And Paul would go out to the marketplace and he would sit there and he would sell tents to all the other Hebrews. Very expensive. And they would buy it, so during the time of prayer, they would cover their face and pray. It would represent them being in the Holy of Holies.
Right.
The tent is not the tent you think. The tent, it's very expensive, like almost like a head turban, and you pull it down and cover your face as you worship.
Wow.
Remember, when Moses went to see him, they asked him to put on the tent.
Uh-huh.
And the writer said, well, Moses had a fading glory. They said, we have an eternal. Proverbs 8, please. Let's go there. Are you getting something?
Yes.
So next time somebody say, oh, Paul was a tent maker, you can smile and go, that's not what that means. I know what that means. I'm going to go research that and study that some more. Oh, yeah. That was the thing they used when they prayed. Sure it was.
Yep.
Wow. Western culture will destroy you if you don't understand what God is saying.
Yes.
Any culture will destroy you. Not just Western. God is very literal. When he speaks with purpose, answer, and judgment. When we speak with purpose, answer, and judgment. This is something you need to write down. It's very important. 98% of the time you speak, it is to answer someone.
That's true.
98%. The 1% is for a request, and the other time that you speak usually is in, you know, time of jest or whatever. But about 98% of the time you speak, it is to answer. See, we don't think about that, but you do. That's why a lot of times when people call, you pick up the phone, hello, what are you doing to the phone?
Answering.
Somebody send you a text and you respond, what are you doing?
Answering.
When FPL send you out a bill and you send back a money order check, what are you doing?
Answering.
You answering the question. Do you have this amount? Yes, I do. Please put your account number on the check. Or when you go online, put your account number in there to pull up the right account. So most of our life are spent answering. Are you understanding? It's very important that you know that. That's why God said this, to separate himself from us. Before you call,
I answer. Already.
Oh, you don't understand. The word is waiting for you.
Amen.
It's already established.
Amen.
So watch this. We're almost done. Proverbs 8:22. Are you there? The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. This is talking about the word. He's giving you some of the descriptive things that he saw during when he was with God before everything existed. And I want you to see this. This is very heavy. He said, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before the works of old. This is before creation.
Yes.
I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth.
Yes.
When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. In other words, the only reason they exist is because God said so. That's what he's showing you. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. While as yet he had not as made, Let me read again. This is powerful. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. Come on. Who's talking?
God.
Say the word.
The word.
Same thing. Watch this. Verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew the circle of the face of the deep. If you look at the earth from the top, it looks like somebody took their finger and drew it. Different levels and said, land here, water here. Just look and you'll see it. When he established the clouds above, when he stretched, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, and when he assigned the sea to its limit, so that the waters could not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Who's talking?
The word.
Rejoicing in his inhabited world. In other words, his world exists, and I've been there. Because it exists because he spoke me.
Amen.
And my delight was with the sons of men. Wait a minute. Not only were you there for all this creative stuff and everything and heaven and earth and before the little primal dust existed and all this stuff. In other words, during the whole plan of everything, he's saying I was right there participating. And he said, now my delight is in sons of men. In other words, I love when you and I talk. I love when you use me. I love when you speak the word. Oh, boy. What is he saying? All these creative factors, all these faculties, all these things that you see that I've done, he's saying they're all available to you.
Yes.
And I love when you utilize them.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, boy.
Amen.
I knew that would be heavy. But look in your manual. It's right there. That's why even our Messiah said this. He said, I can only say what I hear the Father say, and I can only do
what I see.
Because he was the word in flesh. In other words, I'm going to make sure that the redemptive work of Christ accomplishes what it's supposed to. But understand, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and I'm going to tell mankind again now, use the word.
Amen.
And get back to your assignment.
Yes.
Ooh, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff.
Yes.
Don't look around sad. That's you. So watch, let's look at a couple of things and then we're going to be done. First, let's go to 1 John 1. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Now, why is that important? Because we are a word. God is
the word.
That's the key. When you understand that, you now become a returning word.
Amen.
Because in order for a word to get its strength, it must return to the word. Because the word knows your purpose, come on, knows every answer, and can help you with judgment. That's why he came looking for Adam. Because they had been walking and talking so much, he was used to talking to them. And he was I told you before, it's called the place of meeting in the original language in the Hebrew when they first met. When you first see the encounter, when it says that, and in the cool of the day, that said the face of the Lord or the countenance of the Lord or the voice of the Lord came looking for Adam. Literally in the Hebrew, it was the place of meeting that they would meet. So Adam and God would meet.
Yes.
And they would meet and talk and exchange words. And then he would begin to reestablish his purpose. And then he would teach Adam how to judge things. Judgment simply means to change the conclusion.
Yeah.
So Adam saw a desert, he would call it a forest. And the word would make it a forest.
Amen. Amen.
And then Adam would go back and say, there's the forest. Thank you for the forest.
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on. There's the forest. Thank you for the forest. Why? Because I spoke your word and the forest manifested.
Amen.
Come on, you got to see this. This is some good stuff here today. Glory to God. 1 John 1, watch this. Are you there?
Yes.
Chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1, 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Concerning the what? Word of life. Concerning the what?
Word of life.
Watch verse 2. The life was manifested. That's the word becoming flesh. And he said, we handled him. We touched him. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was in the Father and was manifested where?
Unto us.
Unto who?
Us.
So he's saying the transfer to restart us and to put us back at one is complete. I'll read it slow again. This is John writing a letter to let you know, let them know, hey, it's time to get up. We're back. Things are back at one again. That which was from the beginning, what was from the beginning? In the beginning was the what?
Word.
So he's talking about the word. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard. In other words, the Messiah was coming, which we have seen with our eyes. We've seen him, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Concerning the what? Word of life. And the word became flesh, right? And right before it, he said, and the word was the revelation of who?
Men.
The light of who? Men.
Right.
He's saying we touch the one who told us who we really are.
Yes.
We handled him. This was the one who made all of us, the creator of all things. The word came in flesh, told us who we were, put us back at one, and we're here to tell you it happened just like God said.
Amen.
The Messiah has come. We've touched him.
Yes, 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 yes.
Amen.
Woo! Verse 2, the life was manifested and we have seen. Now this is going to be heavy. You have to hold on. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life. See, when you read the first part, you have to understand. He's telling you they saw into the supernatural.
Yeah.
And we saw the fulfillment or the wholeness of eternal life. He's telling you what they saw. Look, he said it right here. Eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. In other words, this life and the totality of eternal life of all creation is the Word. Do we agree?
Yes.
That Word put on human clothes.
Yeah.
Came down like us, but had in it the secret of who we are.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know who we were, but he did.
Yes.
And he's saying here, our hands touched him. And in touching him, we could see in him.
Yes.
And we saw the eternal life that's available for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And he said, it's in the Word.
Yes.
It's in the Word. He said, so we have to go back to the Word.
Yes.
And we have to go back to our source.
Yes.
So that we can find out who we are and that we can have eternal life.
Come on.
Not in the here, by and by. He's talking now. You need to see the full, the fulfillment of heaven on earth.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. He's not talking about when you die. He's talking about now. He said, we have seen and we touched his hand and the eternal life is in us working. He's not talking when you die. He said, no, you don't have to concern yourself with eternal life if you live right in Christ as your Lord. You know where you're going.
Amen.
Come on.
You know where you're going. He's not talking
about
Ben. That's not an issue.
Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.